Welcome to Man Strong Podcast. This is your host, Clint Locklear, and we're going to talk about why strippers deserve your respect and why you're going to really like strippers before we get done with this show. And we're going to also talk about how to make sissy men. Not what you want to do, but one way you can ensure it. Before we get to the show, I want to thank our sponsor, which is Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. He's a good friend of mine. He's an honest fella. He's got a great company. He's got great shipping procedures in place. He's got good prices. If you're into trapping, deer hunting, hog hunting, bear hunting, fishing, predator calling, he has you covered. Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. Check him out. You will be so grateful that you did. So, why did I come out of the garage the other day and tell my wife the next stripper I see, I'm giving 20 bucks to? And then she kind of made a joke about, I'll be a stripper, which that's what an awesome woman's supposed to do. But that's not exactly where I meant that to go. And she looked at me kind of funny, and I go, no, a real stripper. Why am I talking about strippers? Well, I was watching a video, and a guy was making a joke, and then he showed a stripper squat. Now, I've never been in high heels. I've never wore high heels. I've never exercised in high heels. I don't even know how you can walk in high heels. You know, I get a little bit nervous with my flip-flops having over an inch of cushion in there. That's high enough. But the video showed a picture, like a drawing of good-looking legs on a stripper, and she was squatted down in these great big stilettos. You know, those things got like 6-inch heels on. And when she stood up, she had good-looking quads and good-looking hamstrings, just good-looking legs. I'm not talking about good-looking legs like when I was in school or when I was growing up, where every woman wanted to have the bulimic 2 years in, throwing up look, or the starving model look, or, you know, the knotty knees and the knotty shoulders, and you just wanted to be as thin as freaking possible and weak looking. I'm not talking about that look. These legs on the stripper, she had great shape on this little drawing. And then he proceeded into explaining why strippers have better legs than you do. And this all had my attention. So I'm watching this, and it was kind of weird. Never heard of a stripper squat. Never thought about strippers, really, because I've never been to a strip club except for twice. And that was when I was in the Army, and I had to go drag drunk people out when I was on duty, 24-hour duty called CQ in the military. And it wasn't like it was a fun trip. It was more of a rough trip. So it's not like something, when I think of strip clubs, that I'm really interested in. But if that's your thing, it's free country. I mean, I don't care. But it's not something I've really been around, so I've never really thought that much about strippers. But he explained, when you do a squat, basically in 6-inch heels, how much leg muscles you have to use to be able to squat down. And, you know, the squat I'm going to tell you about is not exactly like a stripper squat, because you don't have your knees flared apart to show the goodies. You know what I'm talking about? But you have them in close. But, and unless, you know, if you got high heels and you want to do this in high heels, knock yourself out. But I can't imagine ordering size 13 stilettos. For one, I'd kill myself. But there's a way to replicate how strippers actually exercise while guys pay them. So here it is. On my squat rack, I've got I think it's like an F4 or something, I think is what Rogue calls it. And you can do this with anything. You know, you can do it on a 6x6 block that's up against a wall or up against a chair or anything that gets your heels like you're in stilettos. I mean, almost straight up and down. So you're just on the balls of your feet, but you're leaning back against something. And my squat rack has got side bars on the bottom. They're about an inch off. They're 4x4 tubes. So I went over there and I'm like, I'm gonna try this. Well, you get up there, you get your heels all the way against whatever you're using. I was using the bottom tubing on the squat rack that I have. Not all squat racks are gonna have that. And then you just bend down as far as you can. And let me tell you, the first day I did this, I did 6 sets of 15 because I haven't felt my quads like this, because I don't have in my personal gym something like a hack squat machine. And until my reverse hyper gets here, which should be in a couple of weeks, I don't have any way to do leg extensions besides bands, and that's kind of weird. So this just lit my quads on fire. I'm talking all the way to the end of the quads. So I'm like doing 6 sets. Now the problem with doing 6 sets at the beginning is the next day you're walking around like you had a bad night in prison. So do me a favor, and if you're gonna try these, start off with maybe just a couple of sets of 10, go to 3 sets of 10, build up to this, because it takes your hamstrings and your glutes that we do when we're doing box squatting and, you know, Romanian deadlifts and stuff like that. It takes all that out of the equation, and it's completely a quad exercise, which is not something I'm used to, because I'm more, you know, wanted to build up pure strength for everyday life, and that's usually your, you know, hamstrings, glutes, lower back, and stuff like that. But I don't have big quads. I'm not necessarily trying to get big quads, but in my home gym, it's hard to actually work the quad without all the equipment, you know, leg presses and hack squats and extensions. So I'm like, I'll try this. 6 sets destroyed my quads. And I can do air squats, and I can do lunges, and I do one-legged squats with dumbbells and stuff like that. It was nothing like this. I didn't put an ounce of weight on me. Now I weigh 275. Now if you're a little bitty dude and you weigh 125, maybe you need to hold a plate on your chest. Or what I'm thinking of doing is, I build up to these, I'm just gonna get out my army ruck, put a 45 plate in it, and I can put, where I can still get the ruck on decently well, up to about 120 pounds. The tension that that puts. Now, so here's the thing. Since I've hurt my meniscus doing a really dumb thing with farmer's walks on the side of a hill, which was stupid, I've had meniscus pain. And it's starting to go away. I can walk fine and everything now. I can still squat. But this did not hurt that at all, which tells me that it's not putting your knee in a compromising situation. And the way that you do this, you get your heels up on something that's going to have them where you're just on the balls of your feet only, and your heels are straight up and down. You can, what I've done is a couple of different stances, just so you hit different parts of your quad. Some are, my feet are together, some of them are 8 inches apart, and some of them are about 12 inches apart. And you can tell that it's hitting different parts of your legs. You go down, you under control, stop at the bottom, count to two to take away your stretch reflex, and slowly push up. But before you lock out, so you take all the tensions off your squats, you start the next rep. So you're not standing completely straight up and down once you start. So if you're man enough to squat like a stripper, you better hold on to something, because you're gonna feel it the next day. Really, really cool exercise. That's why I have to say I've got a huge respect for strippers. Because if they can do this night after night, I can do this a couple of times a week. What say you? Are you man enough to squat like a stripper? But you might find out that what you've been doing is really easy compared to this. What this reminds me of is you can go online and look up what a sissy squat is. And there's nothing sissy about a sissy squat, but it's a way for someone that doesn't have a lot of weights to really work their quads. But that does, for whatever reason with my knee, put it in a weird position, so I haven't been doing those. But this, rock on. I actually think just the 3 weeks that I've been doing this, that it's actually really helped my knee anyway. Because, you know, if you've got anything wrong with your knee and you got strong muscles around it, it's... it's much better to have strong with a bad knee than weak with a bad knee. If you just, it's just common sense. I know the doctor, if you get a hurt knee, they're going to want to treat you like you're made out of glass, and you know, your sugar, that if you sweat a little bit on it, it's going to fall apart. Stuff actually grows back together if you look at true sports therapy by actually putting stress on whatever it is. It just grows better. It heals better. You force it to adapt. Kind of makes sense. Now, how to make a sissy grow up to be a man? Or, see, that's not even right. How could you get a man that should be a man to actually be a sissy as he grows up? Now, I'm going to be very vague, because if I get close to someone's personal story, I don't want you to think I'm talking about you. I'm not. But I've seen this a lot in the last 3 or 4 years, just with generally talking with people, and I'm shocked. It's something that I have a hard time imagining. And what I think this does is it cripples people into being a sissy. A mental sissy and a physical sissy. And what am I talking about? Supporting young men once they get to age to support themselves. Now, I know moms, you're going to want to mother, which is awesome. You're going to want to take care. You can't think of the thought that your young man has got to struggle in life. But if you want a sissy, don't let him struggle. That's just the way it works. So what am I talking about here? Let's say you got a young man growing up that he always gets allowance. See, I think allowance can be really cool, and I think it can be very detrimental. The first time I heard allowance in a way that made sense was from Dave Ramsey. He's a talk show host, talks about money. If you're struggling with money, by all means, check his podcast out. The only thing I don't totally agree with him is just the way that he invests. But besides that, I mean, it's spot on. So this is what he does with his kids. They have chores that they have to do because they're part of the family and they don't get paid for. And then they have chores they have to do if they want to have an allowance. See, I remember as a kid, once I got to about high school, I started hearing that other kids got allowance. This was a strange concept to me. And to most people that I knew, it was a pretty strange concept. Because if you wanted something, you had to go figure out how to get some extra money yourself to go get something. You had to haul hay. You had to help split firewood. You had to, you know, I worked across the street with a guy taking across concrete forms for bird bass. I did all kind of crazy stuff when I was a kid because I wanted stuff and stuff cost money. I didn't get an allowance, and my dad pretty much was right when he made me figure out how to go be independent. But, you know, that's really harsh today with the helicopter parents and the making sure that your boy grows up to be a sissy. So you want to make sure that they always have plenty of pocket cash. So you give them allowance. See, the way Dave Ramsey did it was pretty smart, I think. He broke it down in thirds. They agreed to it at the beginning of time. Third went to savings. Third went to giving. And a third went to whatever you wanted to. So if you made, just to keep the math simple, $9, $3 went to like a piggy bank or a mutual fund with him probably. Third you could give to church. You could give to someone that was in need that you come across, a homeless person, whatever it is, didn't matter. And a third, you got to go out and blow. Just spend whatever you want to do. But there was a catch. If you didn't do the chores that you were supposed to for the allowance, you didn't get an allowance. See, this builds rules of life that a lot of young men today don't understand. Because they just look at it as, I want it and I can't get it, so it's not fair. Woo-hoo, little sissy. That's what you raise kids when they think that way. And then they had no self-gumption and drive to go do anything for themselves. The other thing Dave Ramsey did, which I thought was genius, if it was something like, you know, they were going on vacation and the car needed washed, and that was part of the allowance part of someone's chores in the house, and they didn't do it because they were busy, they were playing video games, they were on the phone, whatever it was, and he had to do it, he charged them his hourly rate that he was a professional accountant for, which is about $50. So if they're making $9 a week and you make dad go wash the car because you didn't do it, dad comes in and takes $50 out of your savings account. You want to talk about a life lesson. How many parents have the gonads to do that? Oh, they'll think it's not fair. Huge life lessons. So you can give kids stuff, and they're probably going to, there's a good chance they're going to turn out to be sissies. Because I'm going to expand on this, and you'll see why I'm saying this. There are a lot of parents that are in their kids are in their 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s. That their parents pay for their house, they pay for their car, they pay their electric, their cell phone, they give them running money, they do this. I'm not talking about just living at home, which is bad enough, but I'm talking out in the real world. They pay for everything. So the parents have to generate income for another grown human that's only grown up in age but not in maturity, and they're going to struggle, and they end up crippling the person that they think that they're helping. Because the interesting thing about all these times I've heard about this, it never stops. So you may think, well, he's just 22 years old, he's struggling, you know, he needs to have a good dependable car and a good dependable cell phone so he can call me if he's in trouble, and you pay for such things. Well, do you know what happens the next month? He expects you to pay that. Well, then he wants to get a house, and he loses his temper at work, and he gets fired, but he's got this house payment. He don't have it. You don't want it to hurt his credit. So you help him with the house. You know what happens the next month? He expects it. Just like generational welfare expect generational welfare. It cripples people on welfare to be on it for a long time. And it cripples young men to have parents that are basically treating them like they're welfare people. You may think you're helping. I understand from the parent's point of view, it's coming from a good place. But there has to be a point where you give them a time, a date, and you say you're on your own. And if they end up living in their car or a cardboard box, have them over for Sunday dinner. They don't get to sleep over, but you can have them over for Sunday dinner. You make them grow up. Because when you pay for everything, you never make them grow up. They never get even part of the initiation of manhood. Now, how do you think that's going to be when you, the parent, go away as you get older? Or you retire and you no longer have the money? Do you think you're still going to have a good relationship with your now welfare son when his welfare checks aren't as much? No. There's going to be resentment and hate and nasty talk. And they're going to think that you no longer love them. They're going to play your emotions like a string. And you're going to be taking money out of your savings for a grown man because he doesn't want to do what he needs to do to make money. Well, he can't find a job. He can find a job. Maybe not what he wants to do. See, that's part of the thing I don't understand about all this is men that are sissified growing up because everything's handed to them, they never learn the lesson that you have to sacrifice to get where you want to go. Sacrifice is absolutely part of being a man. You do jobs you don't like. You do things you don't want to do. If you thought when I was in the pool business that I wanted to be out at 110 degrees and 80% humidity pouring a concrete bottom with a hand trowel, well, you feel like you just got done with a Super Bowl 4 hours later and you can barely make it back to the van, you're nuts. But that was part of the job. They don't like their boss. They don't like work. Nobody likes work. Bastiat said in the 1700s, in France, work is pain. People don't like pain. Of course they don't. So if you are supporting your young man, you don't have a young man. You have a young, you got a boy that's the age of a man that doesn't know how to be a man. Congratulations on your parenting skills. I'm probably going to lose some listeners over this. It's just the way it is. And you know it down deep. I've talked to grandparents that have emptied their retirement account to help pay for children and grandchildren. Because they wanted to have a lifestyle that they weren't willing to work for. See, if you ain't willing to work for it, you don't deserve it. But where did that start? Making things too easy on young men is, I can consider it a sin of being a parent. It's a blight on our society. Helping them out every now and then, that's okay. See, I think my dad had the perfect, and Cindy's dad, my wife, had the perfect way of handling this. Both of them basically gave us the same talk. We're not going to be in your business. We're not going to ask you about how you're financially doing. We're not going to ask you if you're in money troubles. We're not ever going to get into that part of your life. We want you to know that we love you. And if you really need help or you need to talk to us about something, you come to us and we'll talk about it. And that is the way my dad still is and Cindy's dad always was. They never got in our business. It was very clear me and Cindy was on our own. And yeah, we struggled. It wasn't fun then, but it really made a difference in us as adults. Because somehow, somewhere in this society, young people think that they should graduate college or high school, have a house as big as their parents, with as cars as nice as their parents, with all the gadgets of their parents, with all the vacation of their parents, and with the titles of their parents has been working somewhere for 40 years. See, that's not from society. That's from grown men that are sissies. Because a real man would never think that. So if you're supporting somebody, you're not helping them. If it's more than just a very short term because of a very weird situation, you are not helping them. Once they rely on you, you're going to destroy that relationship if you ever stop the payments. Because they're going to think that you're mean and you don't care. But if you start off that way, they know that you love them. But it ain't your business. It's their business. That's the only way real men grow up to be real men. They have to struggle. They have to fight. They have to scratch. They have to grind. They have to do things they don't want to do. I know millennials and younger people than that may have a hard time with that. But you have a choice. Do you want to have a man as a son, or do you want to have a beta male as a son? Totally up to you. And as our country, I think there should be shame in people that live off of their parents and grandparents. Shameful. That is how you turn a boy into a sissy, is you make it too easy on him. Don't do it. Struggle is where goodness is found. Struggle and having to push yourself is where you really find out that you can do things you didn't think you could do because you never had to do them before. Yeah, you may have to work two jobs and your social life may suck. Get over it. If you've got a child and a wife and you're looking at it like, I really don't want to, dude, grow up.